All right, good morning. Great to see you in church today. Hope you've had a good week. Just a couple of announcements to look at. First of all, bread is available in the hall. If that would be helpful to you, please get some for you and for a neighbor. And then a business meeting will be held on Tuesday night at 7 p.m., so keep that in mind. If you'd like to do a Christmas shoebox, there's some back in the back, and just follow instructions. I think it's $10.50 plus whatever you fill the box with, and I'm sure they would be a blessing. The information for church cleaning and other things are there. Prayer requests, remember those that are mentioned. Pray for Kent Prain. He's an evangelist who's around 68, but he was stung by about 30 yellow jackets. So pray for him. He's in the hospital. And then pray for Josh and Diana Harney. They had a baby, or they were going to have a baby, and baby passed away at about 20 weeks. And so pray for the family that the Lord will give much grace there. So 20 weeks into the pregnancy. So pray for the family there. Any other prayer requests or praise that you have today? Anything else? Pray for Sean, as I know she's due soon. So pray for her. Any other prayer requests? All right, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to come together and to meet and to worship you in spirit and truth. Thank you, Lord, for your grace this week. And we've had different weeks, I'm sure, but Lord, we know that your grace has been sufficient. I pray that you bless in our time together today. I pray for prayer requests that were mentioned for Mr. Prain and for these other prayer requests that were mentioned for Josh and Diana, that you would give much grace there. Do pray for those that are listed in the prayer in the bulletin, that you would help there. Help Sean as she's getting soon to have her bub. Just pray that things will go well there. We ask that you would bless our time together today, and I pray that you speak to our hearts. And we come from different backgrounds, different situations and circumstances, but I'm glad that your word is able to speak to each one. So I pray that, Father, that you would work in our hearts this day. Pray for churches around the world that your word is being preached, that souls would be saved, you would be glorified, and your folks brought to you. Thank you for loving us, and we pray you bless our time together today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'll ask you to turn your Bible, please, to 1 Corinthians 13. And the bulletins, so that's your, if you want to take the bulletin home with you, that way you hopefully you have one on your row, but you're welcome to take that home with you, if that would be helpful. 1 Corinthians 13. This is the last time we'll read this chapter for a while. And it's not that I won't ever preach in this area again, but we've gone through it pretty detailed this time. 1 Corinthians 13, such a beautiful chapter. And I'll ask that if you would, keep your Bibles open as we go through, because I will come back to these verses, some of these verses. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, can I do something with you just for a second? Before, if anyone ever asks you why you're not speaking with the tongues of angels, tell them that any time the angels ever spoke in the Bible, they were understanding, they were easily understood. And so sometimes people will make you feel like you're not measuring up because you're not speaking in this kind of unknown angelic. And how they would know it was angelic, I'm not sure. But don't be intimidated by such as that. Have I ever, anyone ever tried to do me like that? Yes, they have. So I'm asking you, if anyone ever tries, probably won't ever happen, but if it does, don't let it bother you, okay? That's what they think. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. This morning I want to speak to you about what love is and is not. And I can remember seeing on the internet once a t-shirt that had these words on it. Love is for losers. Love is for losers. And hopefully, I don't know what the context is. Sometimes when somebody wears a t-shirt, they're really trying to say something. And I'm not sure what that person was saying. Maybe they had a bad situation where they got burned or hurt. But love is definitely not for losers. It's for everyone. We're talking about the love chapter this morning. And as we've gone through this chapter, we've gone through it rather in depth, or I think more in depth. First of all, we looked at the fact that love is not defined by the gifts given to us or by us. So we can have great gifts or we can do great things and not have love, and we need love. But love, we also found out, is patient and kind. And can I ask you something this morning? Do you think of God as kind? Because He is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or brag. Love is not proud or rude. Love is not selfish or irritable, explosive. Love does not keep a record of wrongs done to it or him or her. Love rejoices in truth, not in sin and wrongdoing. Our study has, for me, have you benefited from these verses? Have you been challenged by them? Well, I must admit, I've learned a lot from them, going over the different words and just being, and I must admit, I've been convicted a lot. I've been, Lord, I'm so sorry. And thank you, but man, I've been convicted by this study. I've been corrected by this study, and hopefully I'll still be correcting. I've had to correct my ways, my thinking, my action, and hopefully I can keep that going. And I've been challenged by this chapter. I've been comforted by this chapter too, in that what? I know we look at these things and we say, oh my word, you mean love is patient, love is kind, and love is all these things. Well, I'm not that. But isn't it wonderful that God is love and God is patient, God is kind, God keeps no record of wrong. Remember, as far as the east is from the west, for those that know Him as Savior, He has removed our transgressions from us. And so when you think of love, there's comfort in this. This is the way God looks at us. And so I hope our hearts are energized. Okay, yeah, I got some things I got to work on. But also get to say, wow, oh, what a Savior is mine. Oh, what a Savior we have. And so even if we question the importance of love and the message this morning, the Apostle Paul had no doubt it was what the church needed to hear and do. In fact, he had just talked about in chapter 12 about their gifts, and he's going to talk about gifts in a minute in chapter 14. But in between, on purpose, he says, you know what, you guys need to work on your love. And I would reckon most of us would put up our hand and say, yeah, I need to work on my love. I need, there's areas of my dealing with other people that I need to work on, that I can be more loving. And then, if we question how in the world we are going to love others, do you find yourself that? Sometimes I don't see how my wife and I don't see how she puts up with me. I really don't. I'm something sometimes. Do you have people like that in your life that, you know, they're just a challenge to love? Well, if we question how in the world we are going to love others, the Apostle Paul stated that the Holy Spirit within them would help them. So if you have a particular person in mind that you feel like you're struggling to love, do something loving and you'll see that you can love them. The whole, Corrie ten Boom says, no, all of the sin in the world, no matter how deep of a pit it makes, God's love is deeper. And no matter how difficult life is, God's love, He can give us that love. So we're able to love others because the Holy Spirit within us is helping us. Three things I want us to notice this morning: the characteristics of love, the comparison of love, and then the conclusion about love. And those are the three things we're looking at today. It's just a little bit, I'll probably spend most of my time on the first point, but that's all right. First thing I want you to know is the characteristics of love. Look at me with verse 7. It says that in verse 7, it says that love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. What do you notice? Two things that I want you to notice from these verses before we move on. Two things I want you to notice. First of all, how many times does he say all things? How many times does he say all things? He says all things four times. He could just fly right through and just says, bears, believes, hopes, endures all things. But Paul wants us to understand that in all things, he means what? In all things. Not just people's circumstances on this side of the church. Not just people's circumstances in this side of the church, or in the middle of the church, or on this side of the church. The Lord wants us to show love in all things. These things are supposed to be happening in our lives, and they should be being seen. Second thing, these are not commands. These are not commands. They are things that are, Paul says, you know what? These are things that you should be including in your life. If you're going to follow me and love others as I love others, these are things that really should be in your life. And so these things are things that hit all situations, even when we're not feeling well, even when that person is on your last nerve. These are things that hit in all circumstances and situations. Well, the first one that he mentions is that love, what we, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Well, if we know Christ as Savior, by the way, if you don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, knowing Him, that is the first step to knowing His love. But if we know Him as Savior this morning, He expects us, first of all, to bear all things. Now, what does it mean to bear all things? To beareth all things. Is it like to be a bear, to be mean as a bear in all things? No, of course not. What does it mean to bear all things? Well, some have described it as love that knows how to be silent, is always supportive, never gives up, never stops being patient, and bears all things. And when I say that it knows how to be silent, it's not the kind of treatment that gives the silent treatment. It's the kind of silence that is one of those things, you know, sometimes we put our foot in our mouth, we say too much. It's that kind of silence. It's the kind of silence that keeps us from sharing too much information or talking or gossiping is where we're going with that eventually. The word literally means to cover like a roof. It means to cover. And I love that. It means to cover. It's like we are. This roof is covering us. It means to cover. And when it means to cover, the idea is that it is concealing something. We're being concealed from the sun by the roof. We're also being protected from outside danger by the roof. And so the idea of the word is to keep something concealed or to protect from outside danger. Well, what does this mean? When it says that love bears all things, how are we supposed to cover others? What's that mean? Well, the idea is this, that love does not needlessly publicize the failures of others. Now, sometimes people do those during prayer, pray for so-and-so. And they disguise it as a prayer request, and they just blurt everything out about whatever juicy gossip is going on in so-and-so's life. But it can just be the sharing of just too much information. Love does not needlessly publicize the failures of others. Now, what verse? Some of you may have thought of a verse like this one. Luke 8:17, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. You know, it's the idea of, okay, well, everybody's going to know it one day. Everybody's going to be judged for their sin. We'll stand before the Lord one day and things are going to be known and rah, rah, rah. So, it shouldn't be anything hidden. Doesn't matter. You know, if I tell everybody what's wrong with my husband, my wife, my kids, if I say, yeah, they're the most low-down rascals in the world, and I'd start talking about everything about them, love does not share information that's not necessary. It does not, it's more this, and really your verse, it's not 1 Corinthians 13:6, your verse is 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent charity or love among yourselves, for charity, love, shall cover the multitude of sins. It conceals things. It conceals things. Now, there is a point to where that if sin needs to be done, dealt with, what do? Hey, everyone, I'm going to go talk to this person over here about this specific sin, okay? Just letting you know. Do I do that, or do I actually, if it really needs to be dealt with, do I go talk to them personally? You go talk to them personally. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love does not needlessly publicize the failures of others. Love doesn't broadcast the shortcomings of a spouse, children, parents, friend, church attendee, or workmate. That's just not what love does. Love doesn't tell everyone, you know, the better you get to know people, what? The better you get to know people, you know more about them. During marriage counseling, for people that get married, I encourage them. I say, you know what? When you get married, you're going to see absolutely everything about your mate. You're going to know every fault, problem, thing, and they're going to trust you with who they are. Don't hurt that trust. Love doesn't broadcast the shortcomings of a spouse, children, parents, friends, church attendee, or workmate. You ever heard a man run down his wife? Or a wife, her children? Or children, their mom or dad? Or mom or dad, their children? And I know when we're having honest talks about things, you know, really, when we're having honest talks about things, there's no, I'll be honest with you, if Becca wanted to point out the problems, things I do wrong, we could start on Sunday when we get home from church. And we could still be going when we come back the next Sunday. All right? Well, my word, Pastor, you must be a heathen or something. No. I definitely have sinfulness. And we don't have to highlight. We don't have to, hey, everyone, this guy's got all these problems. Look at him. Love doesn't broadcast the shortcomings of a spouse, children, parents, friends, attendee. Love does not nitpick others' faults and shortcomings. You know what? This goes along with what I just said. The better you get to know somebody, the more you're going to know about them, the more you can just nitpick. And you can find faults with people all day long. But love is willing to say, you know what? You know, we sing that song. You may not sing that song. I sing, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. You know what we can sing for other people? He's still working on them to make them what they ought to be. And instead of nitpicking, let's show love. So love does not nitpick the shortcomings of others. Love protects others from danger. You know how love serves as a roof? Well, love protects others from incoming danger. You know, on social media can be one of those things that we need to help our kids guard, to where that when what they see doesn't just smash them. There's that protecting thing. And when we know of someone's gossip about someone, well, first of all, we probably ought not be willing to hear the gossip in the first place, but we ought to really go and take care of that and not tell the person, hey, you know who's been gossiping about you? And so there's this matter of protecting. And I realize we can't, you know, each other, we can't just put it, each other in a hole and cover everybody and live in sheltered lives. But unneeded harm, we really need to protect one another from. And so first thing love does is that love protects others from danger. Next, love believes all things. Love believes all things. Do you ever just read over this and just say, you know, you read them and you don't think about what you're reading? I do. I'll be honest with you. What does it mean that love believes all things? What does it mean when it says that love believes all things? Well, some have described love believes all things as love that is full of trust. It's loyal, and it believes the best about others. It believes the best about others. It means that love believes the best that is possible as long as that can be done. Love gives the benefit of the doubt. It does not mean that it accepts as true all that is stated. It is ready to impute the best motives even to one whose act is unkind and detrimental. In bearing with evil conduct, it seeks to avoid undue suspicion where there is any element of doubt as to the real intention. Love decides to regard it as good and honest. Sort of, it really goes along with the thing. Remember, I think it was last week, we're talking about, you know, somebody, you come in and they don't speak to you. Well, we can think it was all about us. They didn't want to talk to me. Well, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. They may have had a million other things on their mind. That's what love does. It believes the best about others. In fact, it believes the best about others until innocent is proven guilty, not guilty proven innocent. You don't start with being guilty. You start with being innocent. If there's a problem, love doesn't jump immediately to blame another person. In the family, trust shows itself by not grilling the other person about every detail of his story, like an attorney cross-examining a defendant. You know, and if we've been hurt, maybe ask why. Why did you say that? I may have misunderstood what you said there. That sort of seemed mean to me. And so love believes the best about others. Doesn't mean that love is gullible. It doesn't mean that if someone we know is prone to lying, then, oh, we love believes all things. Oh, so I must have to believe everything they say now. No. No. You don't. Love is not gullible, but in some ways, people tend to become what we believe them to be. If Becca's talking to me. Becca's talking to me, and I think that that whatever she says, she has a bad intention. She may just try or just stop trying to have a good intention with me. Because why? Because I think she doesn't have good intentions. Now, thankfully, my wife is not like that, but anyway, we can do that. People often will live up to our expectations of them. Do you remember the example of Johnny Lingo? Did this years and years ago. Johnny Lingo, he lived in a country where, for a dowry, you would present the father a dowry for your wife to be. He lived in a country where you brought cows. That was your payment. And so Johnny Lingo had a lot of money, and he was he came to a certain village to get a wife, and the woman he picked, no one thought he would pick. And most of the villagers said, "Oh, he may end up giving one cow for her." And so the dad said, "Will you give me three cows for my wife's hand in marriage?" And Johnny Lingo, he, in the story, he gave eight cows. He says, "I'll give you eight cows." And no one in the village could believe it. Eight cows for this woman. He could have gotten her a whole lot cheaper. Well, the story goes that in months, when people would see Johnny Lingo's wife, there was this transformation. She was becoming that eight-cow wife. In fact, the dad went back to Johnny Lingo and said, "You should have given me 10 cows for my wife, or for my daughter." If people know that you're not going to believe them anyway, they may not even try. If people believe you're going to accuse them anyway, they may not even try. E.V. Hill, his wife, he married a woman. He married a rich woman. And no one thought they would make it. And I think he was trying to impress his wife when he bought a business. And she said, "Honey, don't." She said, "Don't." And guess what? Being a man, guess what? I shouldn't have said that. Not all men are like that. Being him, he did. And guess what? The business went. When the business went down, E.V. Hill's wife did this. She said, "Honey, I thought about this the other day." She says, "You know what? If I married a good, godly man that if he had drunk, if he was an alcoholic, and he smoked, she said, you know what? We'd be out about the same amount of money right now. And so we'll just put that in the past and let's move forward." She had a way of showing that she believed in him. Can I ask you something? Do we show others that we believe in them? Third thing that we'll look at today is that love hopeth all things. What does that mean? That love hopeth all things. Well, some have described it as love that never stops hoping. Really haven't said anything yet, have I? Never takes failure as defeat and is always hopeful. What does it mean that love is always hopeful? It means that hope is patient, waiting for positive results that eventually may be realized. Hope is the opposite of pessimism and the essence of healthy optimism. Hope is never focused on oneself, but always on God in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you something. Are you forced to love someone that you look at them and you say, "There is no hope. They're never going to change. They always do this. They always say that. They never do this." Love hopeth. Love says, "You know what? That may have been the case up until now, and it may be for days to come or years to come, but there may be that time where The Lord changes things. In fact, it's this kind of thinking. It's not just positive thinking. It's Romans 8:28 thinking. What's Romans 8:28 thinking? And I know that all things work together for good to them who are in Christ Jesus. All things thinking. Hey, Lord, you're in control here. I'm going to trust you. Lord, no change yet. And they may not change, but Lord, whether they do or not, I'm gonna trust you. Are we the pessimist? Lord, and it's like God has died or something. Love says, oh, today may be the day. Today may be the day. Today may be the day that the Lord changes. And you know what? Can I just share with you? Has the Lord ever been working in your heart and no one else could tell what was going on? The Lord's either convicting or He's comforting or He's challenging your heart. Well, you know, the Lord does that with other people too. He does that with other people too. And so love hopeth. It sees, you know what? God is at work here. Do we optimistically pray for others or say he or she is hopeless? Remember the Lord Jesus in John 13? Judas was with him. He was getting ready to wash the disciples' feet. You know, he didn't give up on Judas. He just kept doing right. Can I ask you to do that when someone is hard to love? Jesus, in that chapter, it says in verse 1 of that chapter that he loved his own until the end. And he gave Judas every opportunity to change his plans. From the washing of his feet to giving him that piece of bread, he was giving him one last chance to turn. Love is optimistic. And then love endures all things. Love endures all things. Some have described it as love that endures through every circumstance, that always perseveres, and that has patience that never fails. Most of us would say that's not our patience. But love is patience that never fails. It's a military term that means to hold a position at all cost. What's the position that we're going to hold? We're going to keep loving. Even unto death, whatever it takes. The battle may be lost, but the soldier keeps on fighting to the very end. You know what? Can we do something? Can we just make sure that the people that we interact with, whether it's our family, our workmates, or others, that to their dying breath, they don't have any doubt that we love them. Let's leave it out there to where that no matter what happens with them, no matter what choices they make, let's put it out there. I'm going to love you and I don't care what's happening. I'm going to love you forever. The word pictures an army surrounded by superior forces being attacked and slowly overwhelmed. One by one, the comrades fall. In the battle comes one final command: stand your ground, men, and if necessary, die well. So love holds fast to people it loves. It perseveres. It never gives up on anyone. What does this look like? Well, the word pictures an army surrounded. Already done that. When you're asked to forgive again, You ever asked to forgive again? Somebody's hurt you, somebody's done something, and you're asked to forgive again. Love endures. Not just 7 times 7, but 7 times 70. Love endures not only that, but when your motives and actions are wrongly judged, love endures. You ever have your actions or your motives wrongly judged? You were doing the right to your heart's knowledge, and your actions were wrongly judged? How do we respond? Peter says we need to keep loving. In difficulties, either we are having or other people are having, we just keep loving through it. Then very quickly, the comparison of love. The comparison of love. Charity never faileth. Okay? Stop. There's a comparison that Paul is going to do in verses 8 through 12, actually a few of them. And he says, first of all, charity never fails. It should be in our lives, it should be active, and it never does go out of style. It never does become irrelevant. It never becomes something that we can just put on the shelf and not use anymore. Love always matters. And love is for what? For all of us. This is something that we all can do. But he says now, prophecies, they will fail. Tongues, they will cease. Knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Some of us have knowledge. It's talking about the gifts. Some of us have been given, or in the Corinthian church, some of them had the gift of knowledge. Some of them have the gift of prophecy. Some of them had the gift of tongues. But then he says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. What are we talking about here? Well, I'm not going to say that you can't disagree with me, because I'm quite happy for you to disagree with me. You study this out. What does the word perfect mean? Well, some think it means that when the Scriptures are complete, that which is perfect is come, then the need for knowledge, the need for prophecy, we'll have the Bible, and so we have the Bible. Some think it's when the Lord's return. And then some think that it is love being perfected. After reading and trying to get my head around this passage, actually, I used to be this person. And then there's about 1,000 other interpretations of this, by the way. But I'm more with this now, that because nowhere else in this passage has he gone outside. He hasn't talked about Scripture being fulfilled. He hasn't talked about the Lord's return. He's only talked about love. And he stayed in the love bounds. He's comparing it with love and actions of love and actions that aren't love. And then he says, we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Notice verse 11, he gives an illustration. And really what he's saying, I believe, is that, you know what, as we, no matter what our gifts are, whether it be any of those mentioned, the one gift that matters and that should keep being completed or established in our lives is love. That's the one that we should keep growing in. And he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, how many of us have grown in our love since we've been doing this? How many of us have learned that some of the things that have been coming out of our mouths need to... How many of us have learned that there's some things that we need to be saying that we haven't been? You know, when you're a child, sadly, but it's true, life revolves around who? It revolves around you as the child. But as you grow up, as you become an adult, you figure out that life doesn't revolve around you. And that's what love does. That's what love teaches you. It revolves around Him first and loving others. Now, verse 12, we're almost done, promise. Verse 12 talks about seeing through a glass darkly. Corinth was a place where they made mirrors. Not the mirrors that we have today. But some of them, you really couldn't see yourself very well in them. But he says, you know what? The better that we learn to love, when we're just starting off, our love is terrible. But the more we become established in love, the better we are to show that love. You know, we can see better. We can see life better, like it should be. I can actually see my face. You know, if you look in a mirror and you can't see your face, and that's what you're looking at. What's the point in looking at it? And so the more adult and the more grown up in love we become, the more others and you can see love in your life. Herein is love made perfect, that same word, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Well, how are we? Well, we're not supposed to have fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. His love is not mature. It's not growing like it should. And then our love should be seen to other people. Our perfect love, as it is completing, maturing, as it's growing, it'll be seen by others. It'll be experienced by others. This commandment we have from God, that he who loveth God love his brother also. The conclusion about love, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. What is certain is that love must last. God, the eternal God, is love. Covet, therefore, that everlasting gift, that one thing which is certain, it is going to stand, that one coinage which will be current in the universe when all other coinages of all the nations of the world shall be useless and dishonor. Folks, what do we love? What do we owe one to another? Paul said in Romans, he says, owe no man anything but what? But love. And love, what does it do? Well, love covers. Love believes, love hopes, love endures, and then our love matures. I hope in next year, what's today, 29th? I hope 29th of August 2021, if the Lord allows us to live or He hasn't returned, I hope we're loving others more, better than we're loving them now. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your love to us. Thank you that your love doesn't change on whether we've been obedient or not. It may change the way you deal with us, but that your love is constant. Help us, Lord, to have a love that covers others. I pray that you'd help us to have a love that believes, that endures, that hopes. Father, help us to have a love that never fails, that's growing. Help us, Lord, to allow your love to change us, to be perfected in us. Sometimes it's awfully hard to love. Help us to realize just how hard it is for others to love us sometimes. And then, Father, I pray you'd help us to just understand how merciful, how good, how gracious you are to each of us. Thank you for your love to us, and I pray that you would dismiss us in your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I ask, is there something that the Lord would say, you know what, this is an area that you need to work on? How will you work on that this week? How will you work on that? I hope the Lord speaks to your heart, whether it's through something that was said or just the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I hope you have a good rest of your week. The Lord bless you heaps. Thanks for coming.